Hello, I'm Aaron. Welcome back to Command Prompt Comedy, a Courtyard Media program. We're glad to have everyone back. We're sorry we missed last week. I actually had a lot going on, and so I was unable to get on the show and host it. And we'll actually be moving the day in which we do the show. We'll go from Fridays to an unspecified date. So look up for that surprise. Make sure you tune in and subscribe to us wherever you get your audio from, whether that be Google Podcasts, Apple Podcast, or Spotify, or some other online streaming service. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to get the latest and recap of the tech news that is going on in your world today. So, there's a lot to talk about, actually, in fact. there's a ton of news that has happened over the last 2 weeks, more than we actually had in the third reboot edition that we had, which was the show from 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago. So we've got a lot to recap. First, starting off with Mark Zuckerberg. Yes, as the community calls him, the Zuck, he is coming out with Messenger Rooms for Facebook. It's an answer to Zoom's house party type thing, the way that Zoom is being used. And it actually may be a safer alternative, as we talked in last week's episode. If you're new to the show or you just missed that episode from, I'm sorry, not last week, from 2 weeks ago, then you might know or might have heard maybe that Zoom video communications has had ties and links to the Chinese government, which can cause a lot of privacy concerns for users here in America and across the world. Zoom video communications is actually being banned in a ton of places for workplaces because of these security and privacy concerns. If you don't know already, but the Chinese government can actually request data from organizations, tech companies, like Zoom Video Communications, and they will not be able to fight it the same way that they can fight these claims here in the United States, like Google, Apple, or Microsoft would. So unlike a team call, which is what we use here at Courtyard Media, you can't fight that. That data can, or you can fight, Microsoft can fight on your behalf for giving up that data to the U.S. government. Whereas in a Zoom Video Communication, that data, Zoom is under a little bit of pressure there because that data just gets given up. I mean, it's either you give that data up or you cease operation in China. And that is where I believe two of their main servers, which they claim are backup servers, are used. But users have reported that they have been connected to these servers as a main entry point for video communication. And Zoom does not have the end-to-end video encryption that we're usually all accustomed to with platforms like Teams and Google Hangouts Meets that are HIPAA compliant for security and are also like GDPR compliant. So we're hoping that Facebook Messenger Rooms takes over, although we all know that Facebook is not much better when it comes to privacy, as we know from the Cambridge Analytica issue that was covered many, many years ago. But it may be a better solution than Zoom Video Communications. So we're really excited that the Messenger Rooms are out and ready to be used. The next thing is Google and Apple pledge to shut down coronavirus tracker when the pandemic ends. So Apple and Google have gotten a lot of flack for the coronavirus or COVID-19 pandemic tracker. These tools are using data, lots of data, about users and what conditions they have and how they're using that to gather information about where the pandemic is. Apple released this on the iOS, on iOS devices, and on Macs, and Google released this on Pixel smartphones and in the in Pixel smartphones, and I believe in the Google Fit app, although I don't recall if that was ever said. So anyways, these are platforms that are being used, and apparently right now Apple and Google are pledging to shut the software down after that goes through. We will have to wait and see as to, obviously, if that's going to get shut down. I really hope it does, because after this pandemic, whenever that occurs, it will hopefully not be needed as much as it is and how much relying on it now. But yeah, there's been a lot of privacy concerns surrounding that, and they are pledging right now that they are going to shut that down and going to make sure that everything is working out there. So after firings and deleted emails, Amazon tech workers are calling out sick in protest. Firings, deleted emails, and resistance from the company have galvanized workers. Amazon has not been really transparent in the way that they handle and treat their workers. We actually have an Amazon distribution center near where we produce this show that has actually been in the news before for flack like this. Amazon tech workers are calling in sick in protest of the treatment that workers are receiving during this COVID-19 pandemic. The action will consist, which consists of a live stream series of a speaker in lieu of a physical rally. The sign protests Amazon warehouses and have galvanized portions of the company of company's white-collar workforces. The protest is in part to result in Amazon's aggressive response to the worker organizing, and in recent weeks, Amazon has fired 6 workers who have called for better safety precautions during the pandemic. That is not good. We want people to be working from home as much as we can, and we want to make sure that we're protecting those that are doing the Amazon jobs, because that's how we're relying on ordering. And Amazon is not following through in the way that they should be with this order. I don't know. You know, I have mixed feelings about Amazon. They are not what I would expect, a good, I throw this term all around a lot in the Courtyard Media Group, but I am a huge Microsoft fan, and I think that's kind of obvious, and I'm a huge Starbucks fan, and those are both Washington-based companies. And I did, before, a lot of this stuff came out, liked Amazon, but it's getting harder and harder to like Amazon nowadays with the way that things are going and the way that they're just treating their workers, and especially their tech workers. Those are the ones that are working behind the scenes doing all of the customer support services that are vital when customers don't get charged for something or when Amazon just straight up makes a mistake. And so, I don't know. That's something that is debatable. And this is a story that was that phrase was covered by The Verge when talking about this article. All these articles where I'm talking about are from The Verge, which is a Vox Media type thing, but you got my spin on top of it. Intel released the brand new Intel NUC 9 Extreme, a small-sized computer, kind of what the Intel NUCs look like. They are a mini PC that packs a lot of big potential. From what it sounds like, the Intel Gaming NUC is a new line, the Intel NUC 9 Extreme is a computer that is really going to blow away the gaming PC is. It is apparently, in quotes from The Verge's Dan Serif, is that the latest version of the NUC mini PC is the NUC 9, are exceptionally compact computers that packs enough power to run the latest AAA games at high resolutions and high frame rates. So if you don't have a whole lot of desk space, but you're looking to still play those AAA game titles on PC, then the Intel NUC 9 may be good for you. And it may be good for a lot of businesses, too, that need a little bit more power in a smaller package for CAD work, design work, and others. This electric skate shop owner would end up with most of the boosted board inventory. It sounds like somewhere in the Pacific Ocean right now, there's a boat carrying a bunch of electric scooters from China to the United States. But when they arrive, they won't be delivered to Boosted, the electric skateboard startup that designed them, but instead to the electric skateboard startup that designed them, because the company recently went out of business. Instead, they'll need to be headed in a warehouse in San Francisco Bay, owned by Brian Schwartz, a kite surfing enthusiast who runs an electric skateboard and scooter retailer, Last Mile SF. As Boosted's business became tumbling down this year, Schwartz swooped in, and a few investors are able to negotiate a deal to buy up the startup's remaining inventory. Yes, you heard it right. Yep, the Boosted company, delivered to Boosted, the electric skateboard startup that designed them. They recently went out of business, so they'll be being picked up by another organization and carried out here in the United States. This is an article developed by Sean O'Kane of The Verge. So, there's a much more in tech news. Sorry for the delay there. I was just scrolling down on my page here. there is a lot more in tech news. OnePlus, the organization known for making the OnePlus line of smartphones, which distinguish themselves from Samsung and LG's, the plain regular phones, lays off Europe employees less than 2 weeks after the OnePlus 8 launch. It turns out that this it turns out that OnePlus is actually, it turns out that OnePlus is laying off these employees through Europe. And this is a Chinese phone manufacturer. It doesn't appear to be COVID-19 related. However, it is drastically downsizing its offices in UK, France, Germany, and reductions in headcount as high as 80% in some offices. Engadget, from the article from The Verge, states that Engadget reports that the offices in Denmark, Finland, and the Netherlands were not affected, as OnePlus sees those areas as more promising growth markets. As such, Helsinki is now going to be the new European headquarters for OnePlus. The report states, with prior operation being based mostly in London. This may have been a long time coming. OnePlus models in the UK only work for one carrier. The international provider, Three, the company hasn't had a strategic relationship with other carriers to operate in the United States, in the UK, in quite some time. And that's too bad, especially for the workers that are working at OnePlus. And this was an article by Nick Stead of The Verge, who was very nice to bring that to the attention. Amazon is not always bad. It turns out Amazon extends the hourly wage to increase warehouse workers through May 16th, as there's a higher demand for these warehouse workers as more computers go out. So that is essentially the tech business news. We're now reaching a new segment. We're releasing this segment. We're now going to reach a new segment called The Apple Yard. Yes, talking about all things Apple. Apple has finally released some of their review units, and maybe public units, of their iPad Pro case. This floating space age case, and I'll get the name here in just a second. Yes, the Magic Keyboard, which is the new one, not the old one. The new Magic Keyboard for the Apple iPad Pro, the latest generation model that comes with a keyboard and a touchpad, has now been announced and has now been added to its smartphone lineup, and has been added to the Apple Store listing. Many users are getting these models and getting them in and testing them out and saying that they are revolutionary and changing the way that they are using computers. I was watching some of the reviews in lieu of this new segment this week. It sounds like this case is pretty space age. It sounds like the iPad Pros are getting closer to replacing your computer, but not quite. iPad Pros iPad Pros are a unique and somewhat of an innovative design, though. Reviewers said that it doesn't have maybe some of the plugins and applications that they rely on for video editing programs like Premiere Pro, or for most people who are buying the iPad Pro, the Final Cut Pro that Apple makes. It sounds like some of the plugins and necessary things in a review released by iJustine, one of the top people who talk about Apple products, seems that that is just not quite there yet. Though she is still overall content, and her use cases for the iPad Pro is more like the use cases for a tablet that has a touchpad and keyboard. For writing light documents on the go, for looking at stuff like scripts or other stuff, and for doing maybe a little bit more powerful stuff that you traditionally wouldn't need to have a computer for, like Photoshop or Lightroom or whatever. Now, Apple's iPads have been the best-selling tablets in the last couple of years. Android tablets have seemingly died, being replaced with Chrome OS tablets in the world, which haven't sold that well because they're Chrome OS tablets that run Android apps. And Microsoft's line of Surface devices are the only really closest thing that compete, though its applications are extremely lacking. I know, because I actually am using a Surface Pro 5 to read this right now. The Surface Pro 5 is a great device, but, you know, there are... the app ecosystem that Apple has, developing applications and having a nice store with well-rounded applications is great, though Apple is missing out on a ton of features on its iPad too. It took this long to just get mouse support, and the mouse support is a unique proposition. While most reviewers really enjoy it, my personal perspective on it is basically just like a touch. It's like basically just like you're touching the screen, just you're dragging a cursor around. Android has had this feature for a long time, and Apple just got it recently with the new iPad Pro, new updates to the iPad OS, and the new Magic Keyboard case. But you know, I don't know. I really prefer my, I really do like my Surface Pro 5 because it allows me to run Windows applications. But for people who are in the Apple ecosystem and rely a lot on Apple products, because man, that ecosystem is real. It's for the people who have the iPad, who already have an iPhone, who have an iPad. I know that feeling. I have a Windows 10 computer and a laptop. And guess what? The best tablet to get for the Windows ecosystem, after already having an iPad and a tablet, or an after already having a Windows 10 desktop and laptop and an Xbox One, was logically to get a Surface Pro 5. And that's what I bought. That ecosystem is real. I also even bought a Galaxy Note 10 because of it, because it has linked to Windows support. No other phone, until the Surface Duo comes out later this year, will have. So yeah, that's definitely where that got me. I definitely know how that is. But they also added something else I was going to say to their smartphone lineup, or their smartphone and tablet lineup, and that is the iPhone SE. The iPhone SE starts at $399 and joins a group of smartphones that is in the competitively ranged price, like the Pixel 4a, 3a, that type, those types of devices, and the Samsung Galaxy S10e and Samsung and other lower-end Samsung devices, packing all of the great iPhone features that you know and love, including AR features, emoji, Animoji, iMessage support, Apple Music, and all-around great functionality for that. And Apple has, and Logitech released a keyboard case also for the iPad lineup that works with any of the lineups, and any of the lineups. So that's good, and that's great, and those are some new, that's some new news that from the Apple world in the Apple court. We appreciate you for dealing with us with our all sorts of our great shenanigans. Verizon, but in a tide of turns, we're gonna go from talking about the iPhone to talking about a carrier, but not just a carrier, also a pay TV provider. Yes, you heard me right, pay TV. Pay TV is something that's been around for years. It's actually been around since the it's actually been around since the 60s and 70s. Yeah, pay TV. Then you know, that's that cable provider that you get items from, like Xfinity or Spectrum, at least here in our area, or Bright House Networks, Cox Communications. Yeah, pay TV subscribers. Well, in a statement just issued in quarter one of this year, Verizon, the largest provider of fiber optic networks, TV, and home phones, lost 84,000 of its pay TV providers as more consumers like myself are switching to cheaper, or in sometimes cases free, if you have Sprint, like with Hulu, a more moving to a streaming option, like Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, and many of the other services that are out there for you to subscribe to for your favorite shows. Now, this is really concerning for a lot of these pay TV providers, and Comcast really should be taking a look at this. Comcast, which is notorious for being terrible, their customer support, their overall generous, you know, bills, and by generous bills, I'm kidding, I mean they're ridiculously expensive, and the bundled packages that don't seem to make any sense. Comcast holds a lot of the market share still for cable TV providers, but as people are switching more and more to this, they need to watch out on how they're managing this, I believe, in my opinion. I've had to deal with Comcast because they're my provider, but I think all cable providers, and even DSL providers like CenturyLink and other fiber providers like CenturyLink, really need to take a look at and how they deal with their customers, and you know, how they are handling these expensive packages that people just don't want to pay for anymore. If there's an alternative, with more Americans getting internet, and especially during this COVID-19, with more people getting online, there's more of a risk that these cable TV providers will be losing their pay TV customers. And have customers just switching to internet options only. Though Comcast kind of catch-22s you a little bit with their 1 terabyte data plan, which is not enough for streaming TV. So it kind of forces you into buying their streaming TV servers or paying more on your cable bill per month to get unlimited data, which is kind of what you really need. So Comcast is the only thing in your area, like it is for me, and it's definitely a tough sell. So they still have some customers, but I don't know how long those customers will stick around. They may actually end up paying that price. I know I probably would pay that price for if I can save a little bit of money on my TV package in the end. And obviously with less people needing and having a need for home phones, there's a less need for that. So really AT&T, or really just Internet. Hello, Internet. I was reading the next story there a little bit too early. AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson steps down to serve as the new John Stankey will serve as the new CEO for AT&T Telecommunications. AT&T has gone through a lot of change over the last couple of years, acquiring DirecTV in 2015, and then acquiring a streaming TV, and then making their own streaming TV service called AT&T TV, which used to be called DirecTV Now, and offering that with their phones. AT&T has made a lot of changes that have made kind of a lot of sense to their customers. They've also added and changed their internet plan and have changed the way that UVerse is handled. AT&T has been making these changes because, you know, they're a carrier that is very expensive, and a lot of people have not had the best luck with AT&T. I'm an AT&T customer. I haven't had the best luck with them. It's been okay. The service works, but maybe not as well as cheaper competitors like T-Mobile and Sprint in my area. Though there is places where AT&T does work better, and there are places where Verizon works much better than AT&T, and that's just how carriers are going to be. But this is interesting in the change with the Sprint T-Mobile acquisition becoming one company that happened earlier this year. So yes, that is crazy, crazy, crazy. So I want to jump to Microsoft Madness. Welcome to the Microsoft. So we have another segment here. It's Microsoft Madness. Microsoft has been doing a lot in the education and business world, and we'll be going over the consumer and business world here. Microsoft's consumer divisions and business divisions have changed the name for Office. It is now called Microsoft 365, and it's supposed to be a suite to help you get things done easier. This change happened late last week, and I saw it happen on my business and my personal licenses for Microsoft 365. Office is gone now. Well, the name Office and the name of Office 365 is gone. Now we just tell it Microsoft 365. It has also announced a beta of its family tracking system similar to Life 360. You can go sign up for this if you would like to, and you use the Microsoft family like I do. We'll provide a link on this show's page on our website. You can visit us at www.pdmtech.org/CoreyardMedia/CommandPromptComedy. And you can click the link right there to see how to sign up for that. But Microsoft has been making things easier, including adding Teams features and making stuff easier to allow for greater ease at working from home. There's also been a lot of forgiveness in many of the businesses who are unable to pay their Microsoft support services, and they're extending trials, I believe, to customers who are looking to get trials. The extension for the trials has always been there, according to Microsoft, but it seems like that they're taking a little bit of a better approach of like communicating that to its customers. Microsoft has also not unveiled much about the new Xbox Series X that is coming out later this year, whether it's been delayed or not. It seems that Microsoft is still trucking ahead on the way on getting that Microsoft Xbox Series X system out by the deadline in December, which we have heard about. Though Xbox insiders may have received an update to the Xbox One, simplifying the menu a little bit, which is interesting in lieu of we haven't seen the operating system for the Xbox Series One or the Xbox Series X officially come to light. Current demo models of the Xbox Series X currently are using Xbox One software, but we can't wait to see what that looks like, and we'll definitely keep you updated on that as time goes on. Yeah, so there is not a whole lot happening in the Microsoft world, but it's something to still be aware of. Microsoft stores too are closed at this point, so if you need Surface repair, you might as well just call their Surface support number. And if you're like me and your Surface pen is all goofed up because the pen tip, you know, broke, it looks like you're just gonna have to wait until that opens. But you can learn more about Microsoft's warranty packages and plans on their website, but it is something that is definitely maybe inconvenient for customers too. Microsoft also is releasing the Microsoft Word now flags Microsoft Word, which now flags double space errors at the ending of a debate. And Microsoft has released the Microsoft Editor tool for Edge, Word Online, and Outlook, Outlook Online, and the desktop versions of all of their applications. This is a competitor to the Grammarly program that has been used for a long time by students and by individuals working in the workforce to help correct grammar mistakes. Microsoft will be including Microsoft Editor with its subscription-based services for the latter. So if you're using a non-subscription-based Microsoft Office Online, you may not see this feature show up, but if you're using a paid one, like I am or like our studio is using, then yes, you will see that on there as you will see that on there as well. Yes, so that has been the Microsoft Madness for this week. We really appreciate you. We definitely have you talking here. Here's a weird one. I was watching Lord of the Rings the other day on one of the TV channels on my I pay for cable TV service. And it turns out that even Elijah Wood, the star of... Sorry, even Elijah Wood, the star of Frodo Baggins in the widely popular Lord of the Rings series of movies, seems like he's having trouble selling his Animal Crossing turnips too. This is something that's become kind of a meme across the internet over the last couple of days, but Animal Crossing is a great way to remove the stress and everything else. But in other news, don't cancel that Netflix subscription just yet. Avatar The Last Airbender is hitting Netflix on May 15th. That's really exciting. I actually really enjoyed the Avatar Last Airbender series. Many, many years ago. That shows you how old I am. I'm not quite that old, but I do remember the early 2000s being a wacky time. But the Avatar was one of the really amazing shows. This is really interesting. Avatar The Last Airbender hitting Netflix. We really hope to see The Dragon Prince, which is a show that I've kind of gotten into over the last couple of months while I've been in quarantine here, make a return for its final season on Netflix soon. So we hope that that is going well. And there is not much else in the form of news there, but we are going to make its way over to... We're going to make its way over to the Google Graveyard. Google has been doing a lot of things over the last couple of weeks, ironically. Google will make its advertisers identify their identities. Yes, you know those ads you see on Google and other websites that have the blue triangle and say ad choices? Well, Google will make its advertisers, like PDM Tech and Courtyard Media, say and show that they are PDM Tech or Courtyard Media or whatever your advertisement or advertiser is doing. This is to obviously know where your data is being sent after Google got a ton of flack for advertising errors and problems with safety and security. And Google is also trying to keep your Gmail account and your Google account out of the hands of nasty hackers with those darn phishing emails relating to COVID-19. On their website, the blog for Google, it sounds like they have some tips and tricks for how to keep yourself secure during this security threat and definitely uncertain time where everyone seemingly is trying to scam. You know, that's too bad that these people are doing that out there now. I mean, it's really not appropriate for that, but you know, scammers are out there to scam and they're going to make money, and that really is really, really stinky. For Google device admins, we want to let you know that Google is going to remove device admin. Yes, Android 10 delivers many helpful features to admins and users, but has marked the official deprecation of the device admin-based management, the legacy form of Android management. Since our original announcement in 2017, we've been encouraging customers to adopt Android Enterprise, which is their online cloud-based mobile device management network, or MDN. This means that device policy controller will not be updated in API level 2.9, and when you update to Android 11, it will break compatibility with this feature. So now is the time to upgrade if you're using the older device admins. If you're a G Suite user, you're probably already using Google's MDM management services, which are already up to date. If you're not, there's great solutions out there like Microsoft Intune for better security and control, and Google's option, which is a little less maybe full-featured, which we found here in our own testing and our own bias, but we really don't mind the Google option. Google Duo has been releasing with new features, and it is now free to sell on Google for businesses as well. There's also some new ways that you can optimize your website and check to make sure that it is working, especially during COVID-19 for us business users. And Google is helping in the education world to make sure that everyone is staying well and emotionally sound too for students and families. And there is not much else in the Google world. It's interesting. Something we forgot to mention in the Apple world, actually, was Apple is coming to Samsung Smart TVs. Yes, Apple Music specifically is coming to Samsung Smart TVs, which is an interesting thing for sure. So we really appreciate you joining us in this show today and getting all the great tech news that you know and you love. If there's anything that we missed, we would like to hear from you. You can email us at courtyardmedia@pdmtech.org. You can email the show. And if you find a news topic that's really cool and you want to send that out to us, we'd be more than happy to feature that on the show with your name. Remember, all of these news stories and articles came from Microsoft, Google, and The Verge, which is owned by Vox Media, and we really appreciate you for joining this program today. We hope you're all staying safe and happy at home, and we're glad that you're able to join in with us on this podcast. We can't wait to see you later this week, whenever that's going to be, as we're changing the time for the show, where it will be uploaded. So make sure you subscribe on the place where you get all of your audio, whether that be Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts. Make sure to stay up to date with your tech news. We appreciate it. This show is a part of the Courtyard Media family, not sponsored by, but is a part of the Courtyard Media family. However, any bias during the show towards PDM Tech or any of its employees' likings was completely removed and has been redacted for the purposes of creating news content that is unbiased. If you find any bias in our programs, we'd certainly love to know. I actually would certainly love to know, as I currently produce this show myself. So if there's any bias or you see me getting stuff out of line, please send us an email at courtyardmedia@pdmtech.org. Thank you so much for joining us in this program. You have an awesome weekend and next week, and we'll see you back sometime next week.